Welcome to this episode of the Long Haul Chronic Fatigue Summit. Today, I am just so happy to have with me Dr. Isaac Elias. He is a leading expert in the field of integrative medicine, specializing in cancer, detoxification, immunity, and complex conditions. He has had a great influence on the way that I practice medicine. He's been my mentor, and I have been so blessed for that. So, welcome, Dr. Isaac Elias. I am just so happy to have you here with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love our conversations and, you know, to share the path of growth and helping other people and sharing what we know with others. It is so important, especially in these days.
Yes, it sure is. So today we're going to talk about addressing the long haul constellation, immune dysregulation, neuroinflammation, and microclotting. But Dr. Elias, before we go into that, will you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, in my background, I'm in my early 60s. I mean, I started my journey with healing and healing arts as a teenager. I'm a physician, I'm a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist trained in classical homeopathy. And so I've trained vertically in multiple medical systems, but also spent decades learning and training in meditation with focus on healing about for 20 years, 2 months a year in the mountains, and for 10 years, half day retreat and half day of work. And so my work encompasses the contemplative part of being fortunate to treat and to be the student of some of the greatest meditation masters in the Himalayas. At the same time, being an active researcher, including having NIH grants, with a lot of my research focused on galactin 3, a carbohydrate binding protein that initially was related more to cancer and cancer metastasis. And over the years, I discovered when you block him, it affects inflammation, fibrosis, immune dysregulation. And I've coined it as our survival paradox protein as part of my books, The Survival Paradox. And it's very relevant for immune dysregulation, for COVID long haul, and for our healing, health, and longevity.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about your best-selling book that you just mentioned, The Survival Paradox. In it, it talks about that paradox protein, galectin 3, in cytokine storms, immune dysregulation, inflammation, and organ damage. So we know that this is all very pertinent to long haul. Tell us what the role of immune dysregulation is, and specifically galectin 3.
So the concept of survival paradox is as it sounds. We are innately built to survive. So it's built within us, and we respond with a survival instinct within a fraction of the second through the autonomic nervous system, through the sympathetic nervous system, either with fight, which equates to inflammation, and in our case, to the cytokine storm, or we respond with hiding, with running away, which creates isolation, biofilm, microenvironment, and leads to fibrosis and organ dysfunction, both hallmarks of degeneration and almost every disease. So while this happens within seconds, it then triggers the biochemical response. So I have demonstrated that galectin 3 rise within minutes of a stress, like for example, induction of sepsis in animal models. And only later on, cytokines like interleukin 6 start spiking. And in fact, when we block galectin 3 with modified cytoprospectin, we attenuate the rise in interleukin 6, one of the first cytokines. We attenuate the damage to the kidneys and we attenuate mortality. So this basic concept that I'm researching in sepsis is really what happens in acute COVID, where people go into acute kidney injury, people go into sepsis, people go into organ failure, and it also happens in COVID long haul. So, you know, we've been dialoguing about medicine for many years now, almost a decade, wow. So when we look at the COVID long haul, it really presents a very complex condition because we've got the immune dysregulation, which is driven by survival. So immune dysregulation means that we're going to have hyper-dysregulated inflammatory process. And it has two parts. One part is that the virus wants to survive. And the virus survives with a spike protein, which attaches to tissue. Well, if we revisit Galactin-3 is our survival paradox protein, goes to areas of injury in the body. It drives within it, it's like a bus that ties to different ligands, inflammatory ligands, sticky ligands, immune modulation ligands, attaches to the membranes, attaches to other galactin-3, activate macrophage, and we get an inflammatory response.
It's almost like a Velcro, right? Where all these other inflammatory cytokines and inflammatory ligands.
Exactly, that's a great term, Velcro. Yeah, we call it a lattice formation, but it's literally Velcro is, yeah, Velcro is like, that's a biofilm. On top of it, you got your heavy metals, you got the environment changes, you got hypoxia, cell metabolism changes. Now nutrients are not getting to the cells. Now suddenly you do blood tests and the long COVID patient have nutrient deficiencies. Well, nutrients, they do have them, but the cause is not the nutrient deficiency. The cause is the dysregulation on a deeper level. So it's fascinating to really see how it works and how it gets affected. So the moment that these things changes, it affects our whole body in multiple levels. The immune dysregulation will create hyperviscosity. The lack of oxygen getting to the tissue will create problem in circulation. So when we talk about ourselves, we have to realize we have our response, but we also have the virus. And the virus wants to survive. So it is not surprising that the spike protein is practically identical in structure to galactin-3.
Wow.
In fact, we knew this very early on in 2020. We just weren't influential enough to get any hospitals to agree to do clinical trials with blocking galactin-3. There are some small trials that were just presented that show that when you give a galactin-3 blocker, you shorten the duration of COVID. But unfortunately, you know, it's a natural substance that wasn't, you know, it was hard because there was so much focus on drugs and for a good reason in vaccines, et cetera. So putting this aside, if we look, for example, at COVID patients in a large study that came into emergency department, their levels of galactin-3 in the blood at time of admission, regardless of how severe was their disease, how much of the lung was involved, determined later on who will get to the ICU and who's going to die, which means it's a very early trigger. So addressing galactin-3 is one factor, but I want to take it bigger than galactin-3. I want to really see what's happening long COVID, both as somebody who treats complex diseases, cancer, and complex immune dysregulation, and as somebody who has severe long COVID, almost died and healed, you know, and my journey with it and what worked for me and where I saw the pitfalls. And I want to share it because I want to share my journey because I think it can help other people. So it's interesting, you know, when we were discussing this topic, it was beforehand. We're talking about this summit a long time ago, beforehand, the COVID or long haul COVID. So I sure have the experience and I understand what people are going through. So once we disrupt the immune regulation, and once we get inflammation, everything goes off. We're creating an oxidized environment because we're not able to clean the junk. The lymph system is not working well because there is microenvironment. Well, you start getting oxidized lipids. So you see a shift in long COVID universally. If you look at lipid levels of people who had COVID, even if they barely had symptoms, especially people over 50, over 60, you will see a shift to higher levels of cholesterol. But more important, the subgroup of cholesterol are shifting towards oxidized cholesterol, toward more LDLP, towards small dangerous particles. And our silent killer, lipoprotein A, which prevents oxygen from getting to the tissue, which drives strokes, heart disease, microclotting, certain cancers, goes up. And usually lipoprotein A is very stable. It's driven by genetics. But suddenly you see it doubling in people. So you got this lipid dysregulation, and which is preventing oxygen from getting to the tissue, and you got immune dysregulation driving inflammation, and you got the cytokine storm. Because cytokines are responding, there is a crisis. And as a result, you can get some autoimmunity, especially in people who are susceptible. And you also can get people who have cancer. Cancer gets triggered suddenly.
Right.
You know, you get people with CLL, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, that, you know, very low counts. It's going to take 10, 15 years until they need treatment. And suddenly they come with a crisis. You got people with neuro inflammation, you know. You see people, coming with diseases in the 70s that you really never will see, you know, in somebody that usually you will get them in your 20s, you know. Myasthenia gravis in somebody in their 70s. So when we examine these patients, there are pre-existing conditions. You know, I had severe tick bite disease in my late 20s in California in a short trip. I say severe, my liver enzymes were close to 10,000. Okay, that's how bad it was.
Wow.
It took me 5-6 years to recover. So I have built in me these hidden responses, you know. That's one part. Other people, Lyme disease, and other people have toxins. So mycotoxins play a big role, because mycotoxin will prevent proper oxidation of the tissue, right? What are micro? If anybody look at mold, mold is sticky, right? It grows in cold, dampy, sticky areas, right? And it's interesting how diet can affect you, right? If we take sugars and we put some water on sugar and we touch it, mm-hmm. It's very sticky.
Right.
It is not surprising that fungus grows on the sugar stimulates, right? You can see the orientation. So we got mold toxins, we got heavy metals, and we got pesticides. So for example, glyphosate will disrupt the gut barrier and will naturally affect neuroinflammation. So neuroinflammation in long COVID is a no-no. And that's why sometimes for a certain patient, hyperbaric is so good. I don't know if you had somebody speaking about hyperbaric.
I assume that.
Why? Because you bring a lot of oxygen to the tissue. It dissolves this biofilm. There is so much oxygen that the cell gets to self-regulate, the hypoxia-inducing factor, a crisis gets dissolved because you got so much oxygen, so much abundance, and the cell gets to relax.
Right.
And that's the value as long as you can follow up. So all these metabolic things, they start with a survival response. And that's really the contribution of the survival paradox. So, you know, talking about cell danger response, that's later on. But once I painted this picture, I think that we have to realize that the initial response happened in our mind, happened in our heart. And that's where the healing can come. It's, you know, when we talk about meditation, and I talk a lot about it with my daughter, Lama Chuni Zangmo, and we talk about meditation is not what we experience. Meditation is our relationship with what we experience. And our health is not only the symptoms we have, it's our relationship with the symptoms we have. And because of the COVID imbalance, because we are in such a deep survival mode, we react. And we react through the sympathetic system. Mm-hmm. So the sympathetic system can trigger. For me personally, I recovered. I had one bout of COVID long on with high lipids and blood pressure uncontrolled. I left everything behind. I did therapeutic apheresis, which really I could feel out the value, and we'll talk about it later, is that it took down the cytokine, it took down the oxidized lipids. I could feel how the same trigger was not pushing symptoms because my body was clean. I took my supplement and I left for Hawaii. 3 days, meditation, swim. I was back to normal. Then a few months later, actually, there was a death in the family. I came back. There was a very stressful, unexpected event that really hurt my heart. So it was a shock. I wasn't ready for it. And then I was working late at night and I just picked some food, and the person in the Nepali restaurant said, hey, let me give you some chai. It's from the bottom of the container, and I don't drink chai, definitely not at night. And I was working on a research project, and I could feel something was going on. I had a fairy scheduled for Wednesday. And as I was working, I drank without noticing 3 cups of extremely concentrated chai that was at the bottom of the container for the whole day. And I got caffeine intoxication with, you know, blood pressure 200 over 110 and complete numbness and weakness on my left side and what mimicked heart attack. And it triggered the whole long COVID. My cytokines, I did the classical panels and definitely all the cytokines were up.
I was very worried about you during that.
Yeah, I know. I was sharing with you, with Eric and you. It was at a place where I even couldn't think. Forget about not a negative thought. Any thought would recreate this internal. I realized, wow, I realized the level of neuroinflammation. And the symptoms were exactly like the symptoms of a heart attack. But I knew it's not, I realized, because I have international patients with long COVID who fly in, severe ones, and I realized, oh my God, I have their symptoms that are just a little bit worse, you know? And so what I realized, what for me was amazing, what a gift, is I noticed how the symptoms are there and how my mind reacts to them. Like I'm sitting, I have severe palpitations, blood pressure uncontrolled, I'm at max dose of medications. What do I do? And what happened if I really relax and really relax, and how it can slowly affect the symptoms? And and then to a place where I completely healed, you know, when I got into a bad habit of having organic coffee in the morning the last year and a half. And man, forget about even smelling coffee. And now, you know, I'm back to this habit. I enjoy it. And I know that my healing happens with the mind. So why am I sharing this? Because for the people with long COVID, there is a symptom and there is the attachment and the identification with the symptom. Now that's a natural process for me, for you, for everyone. Why? Because that's an expression of survival. What is survival? Survival is not accepting that whatever expresses itself, whatever is in a life, is going to come to an end. Everything is impermanent. When we don't accept the things change and we hold to them, that's survival. The classical example in our body is a cell that decides it doesn't want to let go because another cell will take its role, and it creates a microenvironment, so it has its own kingdom, and we call it cancer. Another example is the microbiome and the biofilm. If we treat our microbiome well, the biofilm becomes a nourishing environment, right? For nutrients, it protects the gut lining. When we are aggressive with the microbiome, either we take antibiotics or we disrupt it or we don't eat well, or there's a lot of stress, our sense of nourishment is weakened, which is a universal issue, the microbiome will go into survival mode. The more who fights, the more aggressive bacteria, the more aggressive microbes, right? The ones which are peaceful, which are helpful, are pushed aside. We get decrease in diversity. And then leaky gut, narrow inflammation, gut-brain connection, autoimmune diseases, you name it, right? And then all the toxins come in, and you know, that's your expertise. You and I have been dealing with this for decades. So as part of the healing from COVID, we have to address these toxins, because even if we do all of this, even if we work with our mind, we can be loaded with toxins, the body simply can't handle it. And that's why detoxification is very important. So I kind of got carried away with talking about the first point. I apologize, Nafisa. But
no, it's great.
I want to give a rounded picture, because you can come to it from different doors, from supplementing minerals and nutrients and herbs and homeopathy. But you really have to see the mind-body connection and have to understand each person will have a tendency to be more extreme in one area. It can be microclotting. It can be lipid oxidation. It can be immune dysregulation. So we have to, it's a dance. And anywhere we can help is going to change the picture, and it's going to take time. It's going to take time, and it's really interesting. As people get better, it's very easy to focus on what is not better yet. Right. But I still have this. No, but think about what you don't have anymore. What, and just as long as we can keep the flow, as long as we don't hold to the symptoms, we get better. Because what is microclotting? Clotting is having stuckness where there is supposed to be flow, right? We talked about it from a spiritual perspective before the interview. So the moment that our mind is clotted, the moment that we are driven by fear, which is a response to survival, what is fear? If we don't have a survival issue, we will never have fear, right? It's per definition. And fear contracts us, freezes us, or causes us to respond with fighting. It's a very innate symptom that every cell has. So we don't have time today to talk so much how the connection with the heart is a big shift, open heart medicine, what I teach and how I practice. But COVID is a nasty virus, and it has affected a lot of people. And it's also a reflection, you know, of a lot of stuckness in the world, a lot of lack of diversity, our inability to accept another opinion. We can see it in the COVID have brought it to the extreme. Masks, no masks, vaccine, no vaccines. And everybody is fed, and social media is feeding the anti-vaxxers, and they get their own data. And then the pro-vaxxers, they get their own data. There's no connection because each of them is buying different products and different information and different things. Same politically, same. And then what happens? You create friction.
Yes.
And friction, you know, if you rub your hands, what do you feel? You feel heat. That's global warming. That's inner inflammation. And then viruses are just going to jump on it. And that's really what we're experiencing. So there is really here an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for transformation. And it's really important because they see a tendency about among the long-haul patients, especially the ones who had infections before, who had chronic symptoms and are kind of in this pain, and among health providers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great, you know, work, you know, it's a great new business. You know, these patients are going to have symptoms forever. And no. We got to move on. And the movement on, remember, when things flow, there's no hyperviscosity, there's more oxygen, there's no inflammation, there's no neuroinflammation. Suddenly the sympathetic system can relax. So the basic thing, we got to remember to breathe, to get oxygen everywhere.
Yes. So this has been great so far. You've brought up galectin 3 and how it's a magnet for other inflammatory cytokines, other toxins. You've brought up lipid oxidation. You are a pioneer in detoxification. And I am very grateful that you mentored me and trained me in detox, because that has changed the way that I practice medicine. We brought up toxins. If there's anything else more that you want to talk about detox,
you know, so I think specifically it's important. So when we look at what to do, let's say from a supplement point of view, what are the big categories? So addressing galectin 3 for immune dysregulation is very important. That's why modified citrus spectrin is really the only galectin 3 blocker, and it's getting more and more attention. Mm-hmm. You know, the 80 published papers. But we also, I think, there may not be enough use of medicinal mushrooms, because medicinal mushrooms are universal immune regulators and modulators. They have the ability to detoxify. A mushroom has the ability to absorb toxins. As we know, they go into toxic areas, they grow.
Yeah. You know, there.
And they have the ability to regulate cytokine expression, balance it out. They are very good prebiotic. Beta-glucan, 1,3 beta-glucan is an amazing, you know, prebiotic. So mushrooms are very good prebiotics. So they support the microbiome, and they should really be integrated into a daily protocol. And there are different products. There are mushrooms which are more immune related. For example, I have a product where I grow the mushroom on immune enhancing herbs. Mm-hmm. So microfighters, more specifically immune support, but there's some generalized mushroom formulas from different places, which are very beneficial. So that's one category which is important.
There's something I want you to address. Actually, a lot of patients say, I have a mold issue. Or am I going to be okay taking mushrooms? So if you can speak to that, please. Yes.
So the mushrooms are made from mycelium. So there are no issue with mold. They are good for patients with mold. They will absorb toxins. It's not, the fruiting body is a little bit more of an issue because it's a whole mushroom, but not the mycelium. And most, like the product I develop are for mycelium, because mycelium is in the active phase of the mushroom. There's more energy in it. So no, it's a non-issue.
Thank you.
Because mushrooms help cellular immunity. Cellular immunity fights fungus. So, and then the absorption qualities of the mushroom. So then we got to support circulation. So nitrokinase, lumbrokinase, serapeptase, PEDMA basic, which has a lot of research in the connection between immunity and circulation, really dozens of papers. We got to support the circulation. So these are so these are the basic blocks, you know, modified citrus pectin, mushrooms at high dose, they are very safe. Yeah. And they actually train the immune system and then support your circulation. On top of it, of course, you need your minerals, your vitamin, different herbs, help the detoxification, and then help remove pesticides, help remove toxins. So glyphodetox is one formula that I developed that is showing very promising results in reducing glyphosate in our initial data. It also supports the gut lining. And nourishing compound like fulvic acid, which is very rich in minerals, shilajit, that you know very well from Ayurvedic medicine, which is a big part of the glyphodetox. So we have this detoxification environment. And then specifically for neuroinflammation, you can add honokiol, which penetrates the blood-brain barrier and helps shift from glutamate to GABA and helps and has a neuroprotective effect. That on a supplement. I think it's important for people to try to exercise. And when you're exercising with long haul COVID, do not do extreme exercise. Do not do the exercises that will push oxidative stress. So walking is great. Walk enough that your cardiac output is going up. And it may be that every day you add another 50 yards or 100 yards, but make sure that your heart is working and make sure that after when you're done, you have enough time to recover. Because one of the hallmarks of metabolic dysfunction, long COVID and Lyme and chronic fatigue, is the recovery time. And why is it? Because we feel like we can do something, but our cells actually have shifted into glycolysis. So it feels like we have enough energy, but then we are stuck with lactic acid and byproduct and hypoxia inducing factors and mTOR1 goes up and metabolism changes, etc. So a lot of the formulas, for example, honokiol helps post-exercise inflammation, PEDMA basic, blocking galactin 3 so we don't get a macrophage inflammatory effect and shift into cytokine and TGF beta, etc. So we want to make sure that when we exercise, we give time by taking the time, by hydrating well. So many of us don't drink enough water, and hydration is what creates communication in the body. It's the fluid that communicates all of us. And then dedicated time to stress relief. And what stress relief? Whatever works for you, not whatever works for me, whatever works for the person. If it's music or prayer or meditation or art or being in nature, for people who have the ability to be in nature, if it's a small park in town, if you live really in nature, I'm very fortunate I do. The power of nature. Nature is so expensive. You know, when all the toxic byproducts of the body are released from the cells and they come through our venous blood to the heart. And the heart accepts it. The heart doesn't say, I'm not going to accept it. It's part of the healing power of the heart. And the heart through the breath connects with the universe. Our drama, our toxicity, the universe is so vast. The healing power is so vast. It accepts it with open arms.
Yes.
And it gives us clean air. As long as we respect the environment enough, that's the dialogue. So taking a deep breath, slowing down, exercising, and trying to move from reactivity, which is where we are met with something that triggers our ego, our survival, and we respond with anger, with fear, with jealousy, with whatever, to responsiveness, to realizing, wow, I'm having a difficult time. I should have an open heart to myself. But guess what? Everybody's having a difficult time. Should have an open heart to everybody else. You know, it's really interesting. The heart nourishes itself only after it finishes its work. It's the only organ in the body. The coronary arteries are outside of the heart. So the heart finishes all its selfless work, takes all the dirty blood, connects with the universe, and then gives blood everywhere. And then when it relaxes afterwards, blood comes into the coronary arteries, which are the aorta, once you leave the heart. So the heart nourishes itself in order to nourish others. As part of nourishing others, once it has done its work. So self-love is part of loving others. When we are at a place of love, of open heart, there's no survival. Survival per definition is me against something else, or my community against another community, or my political beliefs against somebody else's body. When we share, there's no survival. The moment the virus feels less threat, the moment the immune system feels less threat, cytokine storm is going to come down. And it takes time. It was very interesting for me to see how my mind was changing, but my physiology was lagging because of the damage and the response. And then it was getting better. And then one night I was kind of in my sleep, I was kind of a bit meditating, and I just realized, that's it. You know, and I had a certain experience, and I decided, that's it. I'm gonna be okay. And I woke up in the morning, I was a different person. So it was a shift. Now, so I'm a little bit more trained in meditation. I don't expect everybody to be able to do it so suddenly, but the idea that as long as we change our attitude and our look, eventually it's going to affect our body. Our biochemical responses are a response to our mind. It's really important. I'm more and more convinced about it. And it's a basic dialogue and argument between the biological approach, or you experience what you experience because of biochemistry. No, the biochemistry is an effect of how we feel, of how we think. And so there is a dialogue, of course. You can come from both ways, and that's what we discussed today. You need the nutrients, you need the support. And in this sense, therapeutic apheresis is really an unparalleled tool for long COVID. Nothing gets close to it. And why? Because when done properly, we are removing practically all the oxidized lipids and the lipoprotein A.
Will you explain to them what therapeutic apheresis is?
Of course. Yeah. So therapeutic apheresis is something I've been specializing in for many years. And I'm a pioneer in the field. I have an NIH grant to research specifically the removal of galactin-3, the therapeutic apheresis. I'm about to start my animal safety studies before I get hopefully a green light to go into clinical trials in research sepsis. It's my filter, only 11 years of work, you know. But in any case, it's part of where I put my time. So, so the idea, you take the blood out, you separate the cells from the fluids, and you put the fluids through a filter, which is selective. So it removes the oxidized lipids. That's what's available in the United States. And it's for COVID long haul, it's really what you need. It removes the oxidized lipids. It will reduce significantly all the cytokines and the clotting factors. Removes almost all clotting factors. Removes a significant amount of fibrinogen. So now the blood is very clean, and it allows the tissue to release its toxins into the blood. And if you manipulate the apheresis by doing certain IVs that enhance the process, you really get an outside of the body filter that the body is not able to do. And what it does, it allows the body to recalibrate. So it's fascinating. I could feel when I was really at the peak of my of my COVID long haul, and I was doing this once a week for a few weeks, I could feel how, like, because there was a lot of cytokines being produced and a lot of oxidized lipids, you could feel how you have a response, but you're not developing the same intensity of symptoms because the body doesn't have the cytokines. And then slowly they come back. But as I get recalibrated, they stop being produced. And so for people who are really stuck in the long haul situation with severe symptoms, then unfortunately, because it's available, then therapeutic apheresis is available. We do it at Amitabha Medical Clinic. And it's really what we specialize in the clinic in the last decade. It's a whole specialty. It's not another thing you do. I do this and I do this. It's really a specialty. You know, you look at the filters, you really tailor. And then in an ideal environment, we combine it with what you and I do, with healing, with neural therapy, with creating a letting go process on multiple levels. And then you can really turn people around. It's inspiring. I mean, the less severe cases get turned around very quickly. Sometimes it's really one or two treatments makes a difference. For people who have very severe conditions with other pathologies from the past, then it takes more work. But it's a process like everything else.
Yes. Dr. Isaac, thank you so much for this interview. It's been so great. And we covered so many topics, from the biochemical to how that affects inflammation and detoxification, galectin 3, to the mind-body connection, attitude, how you can embrace what you're experiencing instead of necessarily fleeing from it in the sympathetic mode. And now to apheresis. I mean, truly, it's multi-layered with respect to healing. Mind meets body meets heart. And I love the way that you practice medicine and the way that you express it to everybody. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for putting this summit together. It's so important. It's going to help many people.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you.